in this hour, we are going to be joined by a range of civil society and labor organizations that are all involved in mass action and various forms of protest to bring pressure on what is happening in the National Assembly as we count down to that vote of no confidence. Of course, at 3:30 tomorrow, we'll hear from the Speaker in the National Assembly, Baleka Mbete, around whether or not that vote is going to be secret. I am going to be joined on the line by Nishan Bolton. He's the Executive Director of the Kathrada Foundation, and he's also a organizer for Future SA. And of course, I am joined on the line also by Zwelinzi Mavavi, the Secretary General of the South African Federation of Trade Unions. Gentlemen, welcome to Talk at Nine. Thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, Karima, and good evening to the other guests.
Nishan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, let me start with you, Nishan. Now, Future South Africa is, of course, involved in a lot of the mass action. Just take us through the program over the next 48 hours as we get to, August 8th, and what exactly is going to be happening around the country.
Well, Future South Africa, being a coalition, has worked with a number of organizations and institutions to initiate actions across the country. So we've worked with, been in touch with business, we've been in touch with labor, the faith-based communities. You would have seen today in various churches across the country, prayer services in support of the motion of no confidence has taken place. Tomorrow, you will see a range of pickets all across Johannesburg, parts of Durban, parts of Cape Town as well, in the mornings. A number of protests on different bridges across the freeways of mainly the of Gauteng. And during the course of the day tomorrow, the Unite Behind Coalition will stage a civil society march in Cape Town. That we expect is going to be very, very big. And that march has had the support of major faith organizations and labor federations as well. And then flowing into Tuesday, there's a couple of big things happening. One, the coalition has called for a two-hour sort of shutdown across the country where people would be coming out of their workplaces, residences and wherever it else that they might be, flying the flag and showing their opposition to state capture and support for the motion of no confidence. And there you will see pickets, marches, demonstrations across the country. In Johannesburg, there's a gathering at the Johannesburg City Hall, but we think that there will probably be it'll be bigger than what the City Hall can accommodate, so it'll probably spill over out onto the streets. We are aware of a number of marches happening all over the country on the 8th as well, primarily organized by the EFF, but there are also civil society actions taking place. And then in Cape Town, there's a civil society opposition party march that starts at 9 and that goes to Parliament. There'll probably be a whole range of spontaneous gatherings across the country, which we are still trying to monitor and get details of.
Mm-hmm. Nishan, I'm going to come back to the organizational dynamics and some of the logistics involved, and of course the huge responsibility both on yourselves and public order policing to make sure that all of this takes place in a context of peaceful demonstrations. And we know that the ANC region that was recently disbanded, that has now been resurrected, formerly known as the Dalai Omar region in Cape Town, is also organizing a march in support of President Jacob Zuma. But let me park that. Let me bring in the South African Council of Churches General Secretary, Bishop Malusi Mpulwana. Bishop, you have been, of course, instrumental in, ringing the bells, so to speak, on issues around state capture and, of course, also the leadership vacuum that is in South Africa. You have been speaking to your congregation. I was speaking to someone recently, and they said it's one thing for a politician to tell South Africans, you know, that something is wrong in the country. It's another thing if someone goes to church and they hear their bishop or their pastor or their reverend or their priest speak on this matter, and that it carries a lot of weight. What has been the reaction from congregants to the message of the South African Council of Churches around you know, some of these seminal issues that you have been raising?
We can only thank you for having me, Karim. If we can only gauge that from 2 points. First is that you might recall that we, on the 18th of May, we made a call. We made what we called our public report, our report to the church public.
Mm.
That was actually not really so much as a public. It was a church public. The people that came to Regina Mundi were primarily guests from the various provinces of the South African Council of Churches, a church delegate, therefore. And the purpose was for them to hear this so that they can then prepare their delegations for the triennial conference of the Council of Churches that was going to happen in the first week of June. And so it was a report so that to prepare them for conference. So we can then gauge the impact from the deliberations of conference with people that have actually came specially to represent the views of their churches in the light of what they have come to know. It's part of what we call a C-Judge-Act process. The C is the research, the judge is applying the gospel values, and then the resolutions are the action.
Mm.
And so I can say, therefore, that I was rather surprised by the resolutions that came, and one of them being that Parliament should dissolve.
Yes.
That was a little more than I would have expected, and I was a little embarrassed, if I might add, because I was not even in that commission. And I said, do people realize that it takes the actual Parliament itself to decide to dissolve themselves? It's not about somebody making a call from outside. And they said, yes, we understand, but we want you to go and talk to the leadership of Parliament about this, that in their own sense of contrition, they should vote for this. So they had understood. So the impact is that the congregations and the member churches had understood what was at stake in a way that said, it's not about President Zuma, it's way beyond him. It's about saying, what should we be doing to make a fresh start and create a new environment? That's one. The second is that even today, we haven't getting messages that come from the churches, because every time, everything we do is sanctioned and mandated by the member churches through their leaders. And there's a constant communication on a weekly basis to member churches on these issues. And so the feedback we get tells us that this is what the churches are actually saying. And I want people to know that this is not partisanship. It's not even factionalism in the ANC. It's about saying, can we, as South Africa, if you like, make a fresh start and really put this past, this whole experience, this nightmare of corruption and state capture, put it to behind us for the best of times? And in fact, they're saying that if they were to talk politically in terms of political parties, you know, the ANC leadership are saying, if ANC members vote for this motion on Tuesday, they will be making the DA win. Everyone that talks to me says, actually, we are ANC supporters. It is the other way around.
Mm.
This is the last rich opportunity for the ANC to rescue itself. Because if they do now, then they can save themselves for the future.
Mm.
But if they don't, in fact, the DA will be very happy, because they will remain with President Zuma to bash for the rest of time.
Bishop, I know that you have to go, so Mr. Vavi, please just be patient with me. I am coming to you. I haven't forgotten about you. The bishop needs to go in about 10 minutes. I just want to get him to respond to the fact that there's a press release going around saying that you know, the Amakhosi and religious leaders is holding a media briefing and a prayer for South Africa and the president in Durban. It says the National Interfaith of South Africa, in partnership with Amakhosi Ndabuku, traditional leaders in brackets, will hold a media briefing and a massive prayer to denounce the plan to oust a democratically elected government in our country. It goes on to say, we regard the marches and the vote of no confidence against President Zuma as a ganging up of opposition parties and certain groupings as a clear stand of populism to gain publicity. As leaders in this country, we played a critical role to ensure the ANC defeats the apartheid regime. Therefore, it remains our responsibility to remind people of this country where we are coming from and stand against all efforts to seek to destroy the gains of democracy. It basically says the Amakhosi and the religious leaders from all parts of KwaZulu-Natal will gather in the Durban City Hall to pray for our country and to defend democracy. Over the years, Amakhosi and religious leaders raised the same challenges when our country was under the same attack of racial domination. And of course, this is also people who are arguing that you are trying to oust a legitimate elected government. What do you say to this, you know, argument, Bishop?
Three quick things, Karima. The first one is, I don't know, I honestly, genuinely, since Chief Albert Luthuli, I don't know many Amakhosis that ever stood against apartheid. King Sabata Dalindyebo. But I don't know that the rest of Amakhosi have a tradition for this, but that's not really, it's neither here nor there. And I will want to know which churches these are and where they were when we struggled against apartheid. And it may well be that, you know, you got an opportunist group of churches that have to benefit in the moment. I really don't even want to go into that debate. Really, it's not worth having the trouble. But I only want to say that God is very strange. You may pray for one thing. You say you're praying to save democracy. And saving democracy in God's eyes may be one thing and one thing alone. And it may not be what you're praying for. So one should rather say, I pray for the preservation of President Zuma, and not say I'm praying for the preservation of democracy, because God might interpret that differently and you might have a different result. But really what I want to say is that many ANC leaders genuinely believe that to support this motion is to support the DA. And that's what Mr. Mtembu has said. And I think it should be very clear that actually, I think many South Africans accept that the ANC has done a lot of good. It has a very proud tradition in government. But that tradition is being right now destroyed by what is happening. It is their duty to save that tradition. And to do that means change now the presidency. A vote will mean the president and his cabinet stands down. Can you imagine all the problems we've had with some cabinet ministers would come to an end just that one vote? And the ANC, which is majority in parliament, would still be in a position to name a president who would then formulate a new cabinet for the rest of the year. And when they go, and that can be an interim person, when they go to their conference in December, they can elect whomsoever they want. But the country will then get to believe that the ANC has the capacity to change the trajectory and deal with corruption in an unequivocal manner. And that's really what this is about. It's about values. It's about morals. It's about also trusting that we can stay with what we all believe is good for society and for the common good.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We have to leave it there. The bishop having to leave us. That is, of course, Bishop Malusi Mpalwana. He is from the South African Council of Churches, the General Secretary there. Mr. Zwelinzima Mavavi, let me bring you in here. Your press release reads as follows. It says, SAFTU calls on all of its members, the workers and every South African disgusted by the current pillaging of the resources linked to President Jacob Zuma and his cronies linked to his administration to join the civil society-led marches tomorrow on the 7th of August in Cape Town and in every corner of the country. This is a fully mandated position adopted by the founding Congress of SAFTU. We are not abstainers, but soldiers in the front rows of the People's Army to stop our country becoming a kleptocracy. Very, very strong words. Very different from the approach that NUMSA, your largest affiliate, has taken. In fact, NUMSA attacked Save South Africa, called them essentially a bunch of middle class individuals who do not speak on the behalf of the working class. How did you get a mandate, considering that your largest union in the Federation is so opposed to the actions by civil society organizations, particularly organizations such as Save South Africa, who is integral to Future SA and a lot of the actions that are happening around the country?
Good evening again to you, Karima.
Good evening. Thank you.
We had a very, very lively debate in the Congress held in April.
Yeah.
Where we were putting the full scale of the challenge South Africa is facing. Lots of them relating to the history. We all know of apartheid, colonialism, but also relating to the recent developments of the past 7 years or so in our country, which have been so fully debated in the recent period by all of our people and all of us in the Congress, without an exception, agreed that SAFTU, that was being formed, will have to play a leading role in mobilizing civil society to resist the South Africa being turned into a banana republic or into a full-blown predatory state or kleptocratic democracy, which will not be democracy, because it will then be a hollowed-out democracy. And there was no person who, or no union who said we will not involve ourselves with such a battle. And so we, as the National Office Bearers, when we look at this issue only this week, We refer to that resolution of the Congress that said, but we have a mandate to involve the workers in this struggle. And so we took the tune from that Congress resolution. And I know that NUMSA have issued a statement about Save South Africa. And NUMSA have a right to make an analysis and to make its opinions known about any part of the civil society organization. But that's not a view of SAFTU. SAFTU have not had a discussion about a single civil society formation. We embrace all civil society organizations that we believe are genuinely involving themselves in a struggle to save our country from the disaster that is unfolding.
You know, I agree with SAFTU's position. I can't see any trade union federation worth its salt standing outside of this fight around state capture. And it's not as if when one is involved in the fight against state capture that you're forgetting the struggles of workers at the shop floor and the issues around class mobilization. In fact, state capture is in fact stealing from the poor. I mean, the two are interlinked. But let me press you, Zwelin Zima. Have you engaged with Irvin Jim on this matter, particularly as it relates to Save South Africa? Because whilst it is entitled to have its view, it does seem odd that the largest union has such a diametrically different view from the leadership of SAFTU and is in fact in opposition to that very resolution that you've spoken about. Doesn't this point to the fact that you have very different ideas, and if so, how do you plan to resolve it? And more importantly, are NUMSA members going to be participating in SAFTU's call?
The demonstrations tomorrow are not organized by Save South Africa alone. The demonstrations tomorrow are being organized by a range of civil society organizations way above Save South Africa.
Sure.
As you mentioned in your introduction, we've got the I can't even mention all manner of others which are involved. And so NUMSA have not said that it will not participate in a struggle of that kind.
Okay.
And in fact, when NUMSA issued that statement through its territory, it more like was speaking to the Save South Africa as an institution that have come out to mobilize our people in the recent period, and was not necessarily talking about these 143 civil society organizations that met in REMA and which are now mobilizing for tomorrow and Tuesday. And surely NUMSA didn't issue a statement to say workers must not participate in such an initiative.
It's interesting that you're saying this, because I'm just looking at a message that was sent to me by a leader of COSATU. COSATU is almost in a similar position. COSATU Western Cape has come out in support of the march and made it very clear that this march is not about regime change. It is targeted specifically at the question around the leadership of President Jacob Zuma. But I have just been sent a message here that says COSATU is, in fact, it says COSATU calls on its members not to join tomorrow's marches organized by Save South Africa. The Congress of South African Trade Unions reiterates its position that it does not support the so-called People's March planned for tomorrow by Save South Africa organization. We issue a clear and unambiguous message to our members. But COSATU in the Western Cape, under the leadership of Tony Ehrenreich, has in fact indicated that they are going to participate in the marches, and they have been welcomed by the organizers. Zwelin Zima, you've been in both organizations. You know the dynamics in COSATU, even though you're no longer there. You are in SAFTU. You know the dynamics here. What is going on here? Why are certain leaders of organized labor not prepared to participate in what ought to be almost a natural protest that they gravitate towards, because their members are in fact directly affected?
Well, I can't speak on behalf of COSATU anymore. I can only assure you that every union of the Federation, including NUMSA, is fully behind the need to unite the trade union movement with a progressive civil society formations that are mobilizing our people to resist the current wave of pillaging of the resources of our country that are being stolen from our people by the cronies surrounding the president. And all of us have made a call that the President Zuma, his cabinet and cronies, all of them have forfeited any right to hold any office. And that's why we are joining the rest of the civil society formations tomorrow in Cape Town. And we have made it very clear that we're not opposed to any of our people participating in the demonstrations on the 8th of August to Parliament. Everybody that is angry, and our people have a right to be angry against what is currently happening, must stand up at this moment and be counted. And we welcome the fact that so many of our organizations across the breadth and across the divisions, the natural divisions, are embracing unity for the sake of defending our country.
Mm-hmm. Nisham,
on behalf of COSATU.
Nisham, let me bring you in here. Are you shocked at COSATU's stance? And as someone who's been involved in broad-based politics for a very long time and have engaged with trade unions, whether it's on your anti-racism campaigns or, you know, the other work that, let's say, the Kathrada Foundation has done through the years, does COSATU's, or at least COSATU head office, because as I said, in the Western Cape, certainly under the leadership of Tony Ehrenreich, they have called for their members to participate in the march. Does the position of COSATU head office surprise you?
No, it doesn't, because COSATU has made this position to us very clear in the weeks leading up to these actions. We have been trying to engage with them and trying to bring them on board into the coalition as well as around the actions for the 7th and 8th. And they made it very clear to us that they were not going to be participating in it. I, however, welcome the fact that I think COSATU in the Western Cape has seen it important to throw in its support. And it's for COSATU to then deal with those contradictions and dynamics. The Future South Africa Coalition members will be meeting with COSATU tomorrow to understand their own position, given that they have called for President Zuma to step down.
Absolutely. They've in fact banned him from addressing any COSATU yes. activities.
And we would want to understand what is it that they want, that they plan on doing to in fact back up that call with action. It's one thing saying that he must go, but they need to define a program of action that will be in support of that. So I think we would know much more tomorrow from COSATU what its own plans and intentions are. But we've also been engaging with other provinces within COSATU who might well be looking at actions post the 8th of August itself, and will be rolling out programs that they would be deemed necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, I think that these are contradictions that COSATU itself will have to grapple with.
No, absolutely. I mean, no one is unaware of the fact that the alliance is divided, not just in terms of straight divisions, ANC versus SACP or COSATU versus the ANC, but these divisions cuts across and inside the organizations itself. We know it's no secret that Stumo Dlamini has turned out to be a Zuma loyalist. He is in COSATU, often having to express the views of the broader federation that doesn't coincide with his own. So those divisions are well known, and the factionalism that accompanies that tied to the ANC's elective conference is well known. Nisham, what do you do, though, with the argument by some inside COSATU, even some inside NUMSA and other sections of society, such as the Amakosi and some religious leaders, who argue that the efforts that you guys are involved in is part of a regime change agenda, and that it is a shortcut to removing a legitimate government who has been elected in a free and fair election, and that we can't have a situation similar to what happened in Brazil, where people try and use other means to remove an elected government?
Well, there's a couple of responses. One, nobody's talking about regime change. What we are doing is within the perimeters of the Constitution. The vote of no confidence or the motion of no confidence is within the ambit of Parliament itself. So this falls within the rules and the procedures of Parliament. Many would, however, argue that, in fact, regime change has taken place, that, in fact, major decisions of this country are not made by the cabinet. They're not made by the Thule House itself,
but are
in fact, made in Saxon world. So you can put forward a counter-argument that the centers of power don't actually lie with the electorate or even with the parliamentarians themselves. So we could put forward that argument. But lastly, this is not an anti-ANC initiative, because if you look at the facts of the matter, as the bishop was saying, the ANC is the majority in Parliament. It is the ANC that would constitute a new government, would elect a new president by all accounts, and would therefore constitute a new government. What the focal point here is around the president and him being at the apex of state capture in this country today.
Now, if you take the argument around state capture to its logical conclusion, I mean, I personally agree with the conclusion of the academics that says this is not just corruption. This is, in fact, a deliberate political project to dislodge constitutional order and to empower a shadowy state, for the purposes of accessing largesse for those associated with the president, his family, and his friends. That is a fundamental, change in terms of how we understand who is in charge of our state. Nisham, in the work that Future South Africa has been doing, do you think that that message has in fact come across? And have you linked what that means to the struggles around things like service delivery and the fact that poor people actually pull at the short end of the stick in terms of state capture? Because many people feel that often these issues aren't directly linked to their lived experiences and the struggles that they've been engaged in and that they have been waging, you know, for the last decade or so.
Well, let me just give you a very simple illustration of this. So today there was a mock ballot at a church whose membership is predominantly from an informal settlement in the south of Johannesburg. More than 95% of the members of that church indicated that it would be their preference for the president to in fact be recalled or to go. There was only a small fraction who thought that he should stay on, but even then their reasoning were that they thought that the ANC processes would be best able to deal with this. But this is a congregation that's from a very poor, predominantly African and some African Indian congregants, and who are basically struggling with the day-to-day issues of service delivery, of water, of sanitation, and so forth. And people, when asked, why are you wanting him to go, they were able to articulate that the reason why some of them have the problems that they do is that the resource base of the state has been so reduced that the money available for basic services has shrunk and will continue to shrink unless we put an end to this issue. So I think people have been able to connect the dots relating to their own particular struggles. However, much, much more work around this needs to be done. And that is why we think that what is starting Monday and Tuesday would have to be intensified over the weeks and months to come if we are to build an effective movement that is really national in character, but that covers all of the issues that our people are going through and that need some kind of resolution through the elimination of corruption, of state capture, so that you have an effective state and you have an effective a budget to deal with the bulk of the issues that are there. But you also need a state that is able to deal effectively with private sector collusion that makes a lot of this possible.
Mm-hmm. Nisham, you know, we're coming to the end of our discussion. I want to, you know, ask you a final question before I ask Mr. Vavi a final question as well. Just in terms of, you know, the activities inside the House, we know that the Speaker is meant to announce whether there's a secret ballot or not at 3:30 tomorrow. And of course, the matter might well be taken on review. But the mass action is, of course, going to go on. Even in the event that President Jacob Zuma stays, surely the mass action outside and the expectation of the way in which South Africans are going to come out is you know, already an indication that the government is in fact in deep, deep trouble. What is your sense of where the country's at this stage? I get a sense that we are in fact at a very, very dangerous point. We are at a tipping point. I don't expect President Jacob Zuma to walk away from this or to just take the onslaught that is coming both from civil society organizations, the opposition, and also some sections of the ruling alliance as well.
Look, best case scenario is that we have the motion of no confidence, and the motion of no confidence receives the kind of support for him to in fact be recalled and step down. Worst case scenario is that that motion doesn't succeed, and that he stays on and becomes more intransigent, and we see a scaling up of the kind of corruption and state capture, as well as I think greater belligerence from his supporters, which I think would have a huge impact on the ANC and its own internal processes that it is going through. But I can assure you that from a civil society point of view, we will continue this kind of mobilization. And if need be, we would be working with all faith-based organizations, labor, elements of business and civil society to look at other national actions, which I think would be of a longer duration and of greater impact compared to what I think Monday and Tuesday will bring about.
Okay, Nishan, thank you so much. We have to leave it there. Valvi, just a final word from you. Obviously, mass action is a critical component if you want to bring about the kind of change that is envisaged here. But the key, of course, also lies within those structures. You have been a member of the ANC for a very long time. You know how these things work. From where you're sitting, whether that ballot is secret or not, do you think that the motion is going to succeed?
Yeah, before I answer that, Karima, just allow me to raise 2 points.
Mm.
The first one, I think it is unfair to mix NUMSA up with the apologist of the status quo in the form of the unknown churches and traditional leaders who are holding a press conference and a prayer for President Zuma. NUMSA was the first organization to call for the resignation of President Zuma when most would not dare even think about it, way back in 2013. It can certainly not be found in an accompany with those reactionaries or people who basically see nothing wrong with anything that is happening in South Africa today. And so that's the first point. The second point is that, look, every time we think about what is happening in South Africa, we've read the emails. We have seen the NPA director being given 17 million golden handshake. We have seen the Hawks head being given a 3.4 million handshakes.
Hmm.
We have seen the destruction of the state-owned enterprises. We have seen the Guptas landing in the water gulf and being accompanied or escorted by the police to Sun City. We have seen everything.
Hmm.
And we can almost bet if all of those things were to happen anywhere else in the world where democracy is a norm, millions of people of that country, irrespective of their religious, class, race, divisions, will occupy the streets and demand the immediate resignation of that government. In South Africa, we've become numb.
Mm.
We tolerate this because it is happening so frequently and being dished to us by the people we expected to be our saviors, having been the leaders of the liberation movement, that our reaction is so disappointing and it is so un-South African, because South Africans are known to be one of the most politicized citizens in the world because of the extent to which we engage with the very, very, very brutal apartheid government. But for some reason, we're just letting this one go. Even tomorrow, we're still having a debate. Do we want to participate? Don't want to participate? And yet our country is being drowned into the dustbin.
But Zweli, you yourself have said that dictatorship doesn't announce itself with parades. It creeps up. The authoritarian creep is already with us. People are dying. People are, in fact, finding that the democratic space is getting narrower and narrower.
In the statement we issued just the other day, we're saying that actually the whole country has been turned into a mafia state, a lawlessness kleptocracy in which the rule of law and the democratic accountability are dead letters. The reality is that we are at the door of a failed state. We are at the door of a predatory, elite-controlled state where tolerance of different views will run very thin. If you look at what is happening in KZN, Mpumalanga, and other parts of the province, people are being killed in their tents as we speak. It's not happening in Johannesburg, so the headlines are not necessarily reflecting that. But it is happening elsewhere. People are pumping loads and loads and emptying their cartridges on each other just because of a different political view within the same party. I mean, So our plea with our people, as they are listening tonight, is unless we can stand up, the ANC MPs will find no reason to stand up. Already the ANC MPs have voted for a Ngandla report where 250 million rands was used to build a mansion for the president. They voted for the president, which was condemned by the Constitutional Court. They defended the use of water glove.
Yeah.
They voted 8 times in favor of President Zuma when all of us were just so disgusted about everything that is happening. Our plea will be that those who think that this is against the ANC have to think again. Maybe the ANC will be saved only by this action if all of them were to stand up and say, but this is not the ANC. We know, we voted, we've joined.
Okay, and we have to leave it there, Zwelinzima. Yeah. Thank you so much. We have to leave it there. We're running out of time.